Lots of people ask if children with special needs can do okay with unschooling. Parents have a lot of fears about handling the situation on their own. And after years of relying on experts, fighting for your child to get the care they need, it's hard to walk away and say, "Never mind, this still isn't good enough. I'm going to do it on my own." I get it. The backlash from this is daunting, and you're tired. But school settings are not the best place for kids in general. And that may even be more so for kids with special needs. I want to give you some resources to look at because maybe unschooling could help. I'll put links in the show notes to help you see that you really can do this, even if your child has some special challenges. Also, I want to let you know about a summit that's happening right now. September 20th through September 22nd. It's a 3-day virtual event to give parents and caregivers of children with disabilities a plan to ease daily stress and burnout. I'm one of the 14 speakers at this event. And while I'm talking about not duplicating school at home, others will be there to help with some practical advice unrelated to education. I'll link to it so you can hop over there to get the information, and it's free. So in case you're new here with the Unschooling Mom to Mom podcast, I'm Sue Patterson, and I have created an entire network of social media platforms and websites through Unschooling Mom to Mom, helping parents see that unschooling really does work. My now grown kids were unschooled, each with different paths and styles of learning. And I've made it my mission to help families see that if I can do this, a soccer mom from the suburbs, you can too. I'll link to more resources in the show notes for all the ways that I can help you, because just as it's important for us to figure out how our kids learn best, we have to see how we learn best too. Maybe podcasts like this are your thing. Maybe you need PDFs and courses or group coaching and community. I have over 25 years of experience to share, and I'm always thinking of new ways to share the information so that more people can benefit. Okay, back to the topic of unschooling and special needs. After years of talking with other families, many discover a much calmer home life once they've removed school from the equation. School environments with stress and pressure can actually create some school-induced problems. And many families report that those fade away or at least minimized when children aren't in that setting anymore. Obviously, the term special needs or neurodivergence covers so many different situations. But the reason unschooling will work in all these scenarios is because we meet kids where they are. We don't try to compare them with other neurotypical kids. That's not the path they're on. So we focus on what each child needs and move in that direction. Age appropriate can be tossed out the window. All kids can have their own strengths honored, and parents can really meet them where they are, helping them grow and develop at the pace that fits them. I think parents get coerced into thinking that only schools can provide the specialized care. But it may even not be the case. If the classroom setting causes your child to be anxious, or even if the home learning environment is trying to force the kids through hoops of a curriculum, behavior's going to worsen. It can have such a demoralizing negative impact on children with special needs and on parents. Sometimes you have to weigh out the pros and cons for walking away from a bad situation. Yes, if the kids have to return, the IEP process may have to start over, but you will have bought them a little reprieve. And maybe when fear isn't clouding your judgment, you can see more advantages to walking away. So how do people overcome their personal fears? First, they do the internal work. They read and they learn about how unschooling and deschooling works. Second, they stop making choices out of fear and begin to make them out of good information. It seems to be a fact of life that good parents are always second-guessing themselves about the decisions they make. When we're afraid, we want to control more. It's how we're wired. But flexibility may actually serve us better. Every step we take doesn't have to be perfectly planned out. We'd make so little progress if we operated like this. Sometimes we have to gather as much data as we can and then wade out into the water. Yes, we'll make mistakes, but becoming more knowledgeable and gathering the support that will help you, this is going to help you pivot and make whatever changes are necessary. Next, you're going to gather your resources. The Unschooling Mom to Mom website is full of information about unschooling and deschooling. It's work to read or watch or listen to, but it will stop so much of the anxiety and wasted time on that second guessing you're doing. And then don't forget about that parent caregiver summit that's happening. So another way is to call it an experiment. Imagine what life could be like if you weren't forcing your child to do things that increase their anxiety, frustrate both of you, and make life really hard. What if you took a six-month break? What if you just declare these last months of the year to be connection months or recovery months or fun adventure months? Not forever, although it might be, but just for a little while. And during that time, you can read and learn more about how unschooling works. Tap into the resources for parents with kids who have special needs. Did you know there's a big Facebook group specific to unschooling parents with neurodivergent learners? And then observe what happens. See if the behavior changes when you stop having power struggles or if the anxiety begins to dissipate. Sometimes we need to get off the dang conveyor belt and slow things down. This may be the reset you need to see what really needs to happen in your home and what doesn't. Sure, you can go back to all of it later after the experiment, but wouldn't it be cool to try? Something interesting, whether your child is neurotypical or not, is that when we are constantly pushing them, they get the message that where they are isn't good enough. They interpret our efforts as being dissatisfied with them. Slowing down enough to remind them that where they are is perfectly okay, and that you're the person that will always be there for them, regardless of how they perform. We know that, but sometimes our message can get confusing for them. Another reason to tackle our fears so that we can be the parent we want to be. Remember, you're definitely not alone with this. So tap into the resources, reach out if you have questions, and we'll talk again next week.